tests are designed for them. All the teaching materials are designed for them, not the late learners. The thing is that both early and late learners will eventually understand the material. Some people understand the ABCs when they're 4 years old, some at five, some at six, but if you just test them when they're four, then only they will get through, and they will go to the early learner or the high flyer schools, and the rest will go elsewhere. And so we are doing our children a disservice because we have believed, I believe, the lie that some children cannot learn complex things. And therefore, we push them into a stream of learning maybe what we consider simpler intellectual things, when they can all learn if they're taught properly. I teach them, that's why we started Walbrent College, sort of. And we've taught about 1,000 late learners, and they all get through. So it's time to sort of stop the talking and the study and actually start implementing the good ideas that are already there and actually to actually implement them. Now, I just need to say one more thing. Yes, we've asked, I've been begging the Barbados Labour Party, begging them to come and just let me know what you're going to do. 3 years ago when I came on Brass Tacks, I was there and I sort of begged them, let me know what you're going to do. Because if you're going to wait until the election is called and then say what you're going to do, I have to say that I will not believe you. Anything that you say, I don't believe you, because you had 3 years to do it. When I first said, let me know what you're going to do. Here are our solutions. They're published. What are you going to do? And they decided not to say anything and wait until the election, right on the 11th hour, and now coming up with some things. All I can say is, I do not believe you.
Okay, I'll give Colin a chance to also comment, particularly on either the callers or on your perspective on productivity.
To use a good cricketing term, I'm going to leave the attack from Mr. Phillips the second and let that be a ball outside the off stump, since we came to really discuss significant matters on the issue of education. If a country has resources, and as a matter of fact, let me take it back to the household. When funds are short, when there's not a lot of money, you prioritize, because the intention is that you have, with the limited resources, to do what will push you forward so that you can obtain greater resources. Barbados's, our resources are us, the people of Barbados. And so the investment in getting us out of where we are now has to be in along the lines of educating our people. The Barbados Labour Party left a proposal which was pretty far advanced, the University College of Barbados, to amalgamate Erdison Teachers Training College, Samuel Jackman Prescott Polytechnic, and the Barbados Community College. The intention there was to have a streamlined organization, educational institution, which would focus on areas that were critical to Barbados' development. UWE is a regional institution. There is a limit to the amount of control individual governments have over the university's direction as it relates to its syllabus, what it's going to focus on. That proposal for the University College of Barbados was put to the side, not pursued. Again, not reinventing the wheel. Jamaica, we spoke about Jamaica earlier, had done a similar thing with their institutions, reducing the costs rather than three institutions with three registrars, three accounting departments, three principals. You have a single institution, streamlined in terms of costs and focusing on areas where there is need within the country. That is something we need to revisit, because if we're going to get out of where we are, if we're going to make sure that there are increases in efficiency and productivity, and then we have to make sure that our people are trained along that line. It doesn't happen automatically. We have to bring, and I'm going to keep repeating that, we have to bring our people along. Our people have been marginalized for too long. We have to bring our people along. And the University College of Barbados was one of those ideas that should have been pursued. We have to encourage our people to produce. When there's lack of productivity, it is generally a people issue. And we have to encourage our people. We have to engage our people. We have to dialogue with them. I spoke earlier about performance pay, productivity pay. The Barbados Labour Party has put that on the table. And for more than 3 years, we've been talking about that. Productivity pay, performance pay, to encourage people, both in the public and the private sector, to produce more. Human beings generally respond when the situation allows for win-win outcomes. And if there's something in it for me, then I am more likely to respond in a positive way. And we believe that performance pay, productivity pay, it provides a win-win for the individual and for the society. As a party, we have been speaking to policies for a number of years, or the first draft of our manifesto is in the public domain inadvertently, but it is out there, and it contains many of the proposals that we have been discussing, that our party leader, Ms. Motley, has been speaking to on numerous occasions, addresses to the chamber, addresses to the Hotel and Tourism Association. We have been putting policies out there, engaging with the public. We have been meeting with the public in the public space, in our rubbing shoulders, and we've been sharing ideas with them, getting feedback from them. And that is what has informed our manifesto document. So we have policies. We have policies that people have shared, have commented on, and that are ready for implementation. But we have to make sure that we continue to engage our people. Our people have to be on board.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ben Callender from the UPP, as we discuss the issue of productivity.
Well, Barbados has been looking at the issue of productivity, I believe, over 20 years now. That is why the National Productivity Council was set up. And the organization was supposed to look at the measurement of productivity in order to determine if there's any increase in productivity and so on. And there have been, and actually it's under the tripartite arrangement, because in the on the National Productivity Council, on the board, you would have members from the C2SAB, you have members from the private sector. So that was an effort to try to measure productivity, try to encourage people to be more productive. Out of those efforts also came the setting up of NICE, which, as you know, is also work between the private sector and the public sector. I think the private sector, as far as I know it, contributed funds, so I don't know if they still are, and the government contributed funds as well, because it was agreed that we needed to look at customer service, which is something that is very important. The ISO 9001 that is spoken about with great intensity by Solutions Barbados is also of the same ilk, because it speaks of service. But we have been looking at, that's an international standard, but locally we have been looking at customer service for some time, and there are courses being offered. BIMAP does the same thing. There are private institutions that do the same thing. But we seem to have a problem, perhaps, of leadership of it, where it needs to be drummed into people's heads. Just as we tell people don't smoke, just as we tell them don't drink and drive, we seem to have a crusade which is telling them to produce. It has to be a public relations campaign working on all cylinders, because there seems to be a fundamental problem that we have. And I think perhaps it comes from the fact that people see themselves more as servants than as providing a service for this country, which in turn will benefit them. If the country does well, we all do well. The companies do well. We all do well. There's a feel-good factor. All of us are able to thrive. But where we are all breaking for ourselves, as we say, we're going to have problems. So I think we need to have almost a messianic zeal in asking people to do what they have to do. And at the same time, I mean, I hear these calls about free education and all that. I don't want to get into it too deeply, but in the early days, when the free education thing came in, it was for primary, it was for secondary schools. Then in 1963, when we had the UV, it came when we were there. But then we moved from 2,000 people in the 1994 to about 8,000 now. What I'm saying, you have all these people being educated, and you're not looking for an opportunity to let them have their own work, especially when you can do these things with limited infrastructure, where you can do it in your house. And I feel that instead of digging up old stuff, we need to look at how we are going to empower every little boy and girl out there. Every person who's left university should be able to say, I'm not looking around for a job. I can find a means of having my own work in the information technology sector, in film, in video, in new forms of agriculture, aquaponics, those kinds of things. And this is what UPP is saying. Time has passed, you all who are just talking about these things. We need to get into empowering and enriching all of our people in Barbados. We should be owners of business. We should be using our skills, our talents. Let us focus on that. That old BLP, DLP stuff must stop. The people who understand what's going on are asking for a change, and they're not seeing it. They're just seeing the whole thing, so therefore they've opted out. In some cases, you have 4 out of 10 people who are not voting because they're not seeing any relevance, as was seen when Errol Barrow came to Barbados, who for the free education and all the other things that were important at that time.
Okay, that's interesting. In fact, the Productivity Council, in my reading last night, they mentioned that Barbados was, based on, 2017 was dubbed the year of national productivity, the year of productivity. They actually mentioned that in both sectors, there was an incremental leap of improvement in productivity in Barbados based on the productivity worm who was doing, there's a productivity worm that was identified to do the work to look around and see where Barbados was, and there has been a little movement. I guess that worm moved a little bit up. I'll hear from Ms. Tudor on the expectations of improving productivity from the Democratic Labour Party.
What we have to get the worm to do is be a little more sustainable. Productivity is driven by energy and direction. So let me deal with the first one. So actually the second one, the direction. When we did a study in 2016, it did show that Barbados was below the global levels in terms of productivity. But this was not across the board, because what we found that the levels of productivity among the leadership managers and directors was much higher than the global level. So at least we have one component of it, the leaders in our organizations are productive. However, what we had was that the customer-facing persons and the lower levels were not productive. So it's a bit of a failure for leadership in terms of not giving the direction. So they themselves are productive, which is very good and very positive, because we want to be led, we want organizations to be led by persons who are productive, and the leaders were productive according to the survey. However, the front line and customer facing were not as productive. So which means that the leaders need to give them the direction that is required for them to be as productive as the leader. So direction is very important. The other area that we found that influences productivity is the whole notion of energy and vitality. As you know, we were suffering from an increase in chronic NCDs, and that is creeping into the workplace, and it is having an effect. Because if you don't have the vitality and the drive, you're not going to see the productivity and as well. So the focus of the government will be leveraging these two things in terms of, lots of things have been put in place, and there's a lot of work being done to to help people in terms of vitality. I think most organizations now have various wellness programs and so forth, and certainly the government could consider things like implementing some kind of tax break for organizations who have wellness programs to build the wellness, to build the vitality of the organization. Those are things that we certainly can look at, having understood what is driving productivity. Once the organization then has the direction, and there has been quite a bit of work which is being done both in the private sector and the public sector through the Employment Rights Bill and so forth, where persons now have job descriptions. The reason I'm mentioning job descriptions is that role clarity, knowing what is expected of you and the standards of performance, are very important, again, to productivity. So the requirement now coming through the Employees' Rights Bill, which requires job description and which requires that you have standards of performance, all of those things are going to help, because a person can now be in a state of control. A person will know if I am producing above the level that is required or below the level that's required, because I know my standards of performance. So that role clarity is very important to the productivity, and certainly the Employees' Rights Bill has gone a long way to do that. In the public service, you do have the performance development, review development system as well, which seeks to ensure that persons have those job descriptions, they have those standards of performance, and they're able to, as I said, be in a state of control. So you don't have to wait till your supervisor comes and says you are being productive or not. You will know based on your standards of performance whether you are not. So those things are, the government will continue to pursue in an attempt to ensure that we begin to increase our productivity. Further, we have to look at the services that are being offered, as well as the modality in which they are being offered. I think all of us have agreed that a more use of IT, paying your bills and so forth online and those kinds of things will facilitate productivity. Because when you have to spend time, you are away from your work, going and standing in lines and so forth. So we will have to leverage the technology a lot more to ensure that the majority of our services that lend themselves to that can be accessed via technology, and certainly via mobile technology. We talked about the bus, the app for the bus, where you would know, for example, if the bus is going to be half hour late, if there's going to be no bus, for example, and so you don't spend that hour standing at the bus stop or the bus terminal, you would have spent it doing something else. So these are the kinds of things that the government will be looking at to ensure, making sure certainly that reviewing the business model, if you will, of the various public organizations, and ensuring that there are KPIs, key performance indicators, which will drive the activities of those organizations. So once you have those performance measures in place, that helps people to know what is to be done, i.e. the direction, and that they are performing at the levels.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We are on the People's Parliament. I will go to our phone lines. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks. So seeing that, hello? I'm not hearing. Yes. Good.
Hello?
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Anyway, good afternoon to each and every one there. But I would like to ask, is it Solution Party or whatever it is?
Yes.
Now a question.
It's called Solutions Barbados.
Solution Barbados, that's it, yeah. I would like to ask you one question. You accuse the BLP of thieving, or taking your idea and put it in their manifesto, didn't you?
I said that there were similarities. For example, we said that we would have We will teach these children while they're at school how to start a business. And the Barbados Party has not objected. Well, they have not dismissed that.
By the way, did you see the 2000 or 2008 manifesto that we put out?
Right, I'm saying that there were three items that I listed. Two of them were not challenged. Two of the items that we said appear to be copied from ours were not challenged.
Allow him to finish, please.
Yes. Hello? Yes, the one that was, what they said was that they discussed it in a cabinet meeting, which again, I was not privy to. And then they put a variant of it because they discussed it at the cabinet meeting. It was rejected. They did not pursue it. And then they put a variant of it in their manifesto back in 2008. No, it's not similar. It's not completely the same, the 2008 one compared to the new one, but there's a variant of it.
But why did you say we take your ideas when we never take your ideas? Anyway, leave that alone now.
Yes, let's leave it alone.
I am going to the DLP candidate. Now, is a lady?
Yes. Her name is Miss Kim Tudor.
Miss Kim Tudor. Now, could you please tell me why Carseless get 25 years concession, Sandals get 40 years, and what Sandals has done to this lady, Busy William's wife? She renovate a place in the airport for her business. Sandals come now and take it away. And do you think that is right?
Thank you so much. One more call and then we will get Miss Tudor to react or respond. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. I can hear you clearly.
Okay. Good afternoon, Lisa, and good afternoon to your panel.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would like to know how the panel expects the people, the workers, the employees in Barbados to be more productive when they have to spend time ducking and dodging the potholes. When they have random calls, announcements on the radio telling them to go pick up their children because of environmental issues.
Okay, so those are two questions. How could you as a panel get persons in Barbados, all these employees, to be more productive with the prominence or the preeminence of potholes? I would let Miss Kim Tudor answer that question, actually, given that she's representing the ruling party, as well as the previous question from the caller before.
You know, when we talk about productivity, we always go straight to the worker. That is only one aspect of it. So as you're rightly saying, there are lots of other areas that impact on productivity, where you can pay your bills, transportation to and from work, the modality in which you pay your bill, the number of steps you have to go through, all of these things impact on productivity. And really what it is saying then, that productivity is not only an issue in the public sector, it's an issue for the private sector, it's an issue for all of us, and everybody has to play their role. The leaders have to play their role in terms of setting the direction, and everybody has to take responsibility for productivity in terms of ensuring that they understand what is expected of them, and certainly they understand the service standards to which they have to work. So yes, if there's a delay in getting to and from, whether it is work or to do a chore or whatever, it will impact on productivity. So it underscores the whole need for everyone to play their role in ensuring that the country is productive, that ensuring that the country is competitive.
I think, Lisa, we will have to add, I mean, things like, I think Kim mentioned earlier, when she was talking about the app, she said you will need to check if a bus is coming in 10 minutes or if there's one coming at all. I don't know if that was a fraudulent slip, but issues like transportation, the caller spoke to potholes, but transportation generally takes up a lot of time. And so when we speak about having a good public transport system, that also speaks to productivity. Productivity both in the workplace, which is maybe what we and the listening public may be focusing on, But there's also the issue of productivity in the home. In the home, there are chores to be done, children to be raised, families to be nurtured. And if we have a public transport system that we have now, where, you know, 60, 70 buses when we really need maybe closer to 200, that speaks to productivity. Now, if I'm not able to do what I need to do at home, when I go back to work next day, whether I'm in the public or the private sector, there are challenges on my mind. I cannot execute the way I want to execute, and it's not because I'm lazy or I'm burdened. It took me a while to get to work today. It may have taken me a while to get home last night. Some of the stuff I wanted to do when I got home, I wasn't able to do. I realized that my child's report card isn't looking so good, but I didn't have the time to really talk it through with the child. There are a lot of institutional and infrastructural issues that need to be addressed when we are talking about increasing productivity. Potholes, there's daycare, elderly care. There are long waits at the hospital. I mean, that's been going on for quite a while. But these are issues that need to be addressed if we're going to look in a holistic way at addressing productivity issues. Productivity speaks to how people perform. We are very clear on this. It is not how institutions perform. It is how people perform. And so we have to facilitate people. That's why we say we have to have people on board. We have to have these systems in place that allow people to operate optimally at their best and focus on a particular goal.
Right.
We spoke at one point about 24-hour work. You know, the 24/7
still being discussed.
Work week still being discussed, but that is something we need to have sorted out so that there's flexibility in terms of work arrangements, so that there are times when some of us may be sleeping when others are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and doing what needs to be done, so that the rest of us, when we get there at a particular time, you know, the preparation is being done. In the restaurant business, we call it prepping. Yes. Somebody does a preparation so that when somebody else comes in, we take the baton.
To reduce the...
Reduce downtime.
Time, yes.
You know, these are things that the Barber Slave Party will be addressing and dealing with immediately on assuming office.
Right. But that's why it's Grambler Phillips again, Solutions Barbados. That's why it was critically important that the NICE initiative, which focused on more apologizing for the potholes and apologizing for the sewage and apologizing for the late buses, was the wrong approach when it should have been the ISO system.
Okay.
The ISO system is about designing and building the roads properly, not just apologizing for them. And fixing the sewage, not apologizing for it. And fixing and maintaining the buses, not just apologizing for the late buses. And I remember, Kim, because I remember when the thing was started, I called you and I literally begged you to pursue ISO. I said, the NICE is not going to work. We need to fix the technical problem. And I literally begged you, please, focus on ISO. No, just full bore with this NICE initiative. It has not fixed the problems. All we do is just try to apologize for them. And that's not the goal. The goal is to fix the technical problem. So, well, that's a frustrating, because I talk about it all the time. I write about it. But nothing is done, so the only thing to do now is we are running and we will do it ourselves. But the ISO can solve most of these management, if not all of these management problems that we have.
There are some issues as it relates to the reforms, and I'm going right back to the Doing Business report. And there are a number of issues that Barbados continues to lag in. Small, some are small, some are big. So, like, starting a business, we are ranked 99 out of the 132. Actually, the overall ranking is 132, is 99 out of the 190. Dealing with construction permits, we are ranked 155. In getting electricity, we are ranked at 160. In registering property, we are ranked at 133. In getting credit, a similar tag, 133. In protecting minority investors, 167. In paying taxes, we are 89. And in fact, we actually fell down in paying taxes because it is argued that over the period 2017 to 2018, Barbados made it more difficult for persons to pay taxes. I'll continue here. And that's the only one we fell down in. All the others, we either remained or we remained the same. Trading across borders, 129. Enforcing contracts, 167. And our best is resolving insolvency, and that's at 34, way up. In 2018, 2017, and 2016, if we look at the paying taxes and starting a business, the 2018, which I just mentioned, I shouldn't repeat it, but I will, Barbados made it more difficult to pay taxes by introducing a new national social responsibility levy and the 2% on the value of products before VAT. So people had to do more paying of taxes, making it a little more difficult for some. In starting a business, Barbados made starting a business easier by reducing the time to register a company, and that we were credited for in 2017. And in 2016, they said here, Barbados made paying taxes more costly, not necessarily more difficult, for companies by raising the ceiling of the social security contributions and introducing the new municipal solid waste tax, which we all know is now removed. So if countries were to take specific areas of reform that they identified as issues that are stumbling blocks and then put mechanisms in place to reduce these stumbling blocks, then we can see ourselves improving, which is what we talked about early in the program, mm-hmm. about what Jamaica did and what Trinidad has been doing. And I'm currently working on a regional project with the CDB, and this is to improve the growth, overall economic growth in several of the countries. And if you look at what St. Lucia, in particular Grenada as well, has done, Jamaica has also done pretty well. But they have sought to identify under certain planks some issues that their countries were having. And I want to specifically highlight a couple. These ones are broad ones. I didn't want to go into the specifics of the others that fall into the investment climate or logistics and productivity. But if you look, there are several countries here. We have Antigua, Dominica, Dominican Republic, Grenada, Jamaica, St. Kitts, St. Lucia, and Bahamas who've participated. There were 12 countries that participated in the first phase. We're now into the second phase. And one of the recommendations, this is a broad recommendation, but they said facilitate free movement of people within the OECS. And they have actually moved up. They've been able to look at the particular targets. They've set some targets, and they've been able to remove the impediments that were in the way. Establish a single airspace that's specific to the OECS within Dominica now. Establish a maritime transport regulatory agency. And they have moved. They have been able to go much farther than they were in 2012 when they first set these particular recommendations in place. In Dominican Republic, which has their reforms have actually gone, I think there were 73% in terms of improvements, in terms of the reforms. They improved their regional cultural and transport links, and they increased Caribbean markets in terms of knowledge transfer. I will stop here, but these countries have set certain targets in place. Barbados does not participate in the CGF, but it could, mm-hmm. and it is hopeful that within the next administration, someone, and we will be approaching the government of the day when that does happen, to see who, whether or not they want to participate in the growth forum so as to improve the growth in Barbados, because it is an area that we are falling, and we've been falling for some time now, our economic growth in particularly in Barbados. I would also, before we go to that next caller, I would also ask, have you considered as a means of something that is impacting efficiency as well, how do we procure our public goods? What is the relationship between the public sector and the private sector as it relates to that efficiency? And even as Lord Cole mentioned, talking about the public and private sector earlier, there was another gentleman, I don't currently have his name, but he spoke to the increased cost of doing business when the private sector takes on certain critical sectors of management. So let's say, for example, the railways. There was an example that it is least costly because the railway is still being dealt with by a government entity, whereas all of the other sectors that the private sector, there's some research that I was reading on, where the private sector took on the cost, then took on the role of management, then the costs increase. I'd like to get some reaction from you as well as it relates to that. Specifically, How does your party plan to address the issue of procurement with a means to increasing the efficiency and the relationship between the public and private sector as we take on the reins of government? Okay. You can go first, Mr. Wendell Kelman, right. Given that you did not go just now. Yes. Kelman's
a good man too. No problem.
I actually know him as well.
The UPP will, and I'm reading here, will review the laws for the award of all government contracts. And within that context, consider the appointment of a contractor general. It's not totally new because, you know, the NDP recommended that many years ago, but it hasn't really happened. But just a minute. So it's not a new concept, but it's something that needs to be done. As far as it's practicable, make the application and award of contracts for the provision of goods and services to the government of Barbados transparent through the use of information technology. Third point, make the process for the application of award of grants transparent through the use of information technology. Now, we didn't have the technical committee and all that, but we're saying that we need to have information. And this also impacts on we need to have, people still have access to information. Once it is not sensitive information about health or those kind of things, people need to have information. And once they have information, then this encourages them to have confidence in government. So we're dealing with an open slate. And I think that people shouldn't feel that certain people are being
disadvantaged.
No, some are being advantaged.
Okay.
And many others
are being disadvantaged.
We've just spoken about giving 40% of the contracts to the small business sector. Mm-hmm. And I think as the small and micro business sector expands, which we anticipate, we need to have greater transparency because these people, having set up a business, they need to be able to have access to government procurement. So these are things that we have on our slate, is in our manifesto. You can find them on uppbarbados.org. Actually, when you go there, you can see our slate of candidates, their skills, their experience, and all that. But we have it already that published.
Okay. You give us the website?
uppbarbados.org.
Okay.
You will see the manifesto for governance, one for the creative sector, the new economy.
Okay.
And you'll see one for Bridgetown. You'll see our candidates there to see their background, things they've done over the years. And a lot of them have been committed to a lot of community causes, national causes. And we have people too who are consultants, regional, international consultants and all that. You see that there?
That's good. I'm sure persons want to chomp at this bite, so I'll give
you. Yeah, as relates to procurement in Barbados in recent times has been shrouded with allegations of impropriety. And that is an area that will need to be addressed even as we talk about how we go about the mechanics mm-hmm. of the procurement. And so the anti-corruption legislation needs to be in place so that procurement does not come with the feeling or the perception or the reality of something being given on the side to achieve something. So the integrity legislation has to be in place before we can actually talk about mechanics. But the Barbados Labour Party will be implementing regulations to make the process transparent. We will also be looking at standards of products and services that government will be procuring. Because it is one thing to obtain goods and services to make sure that it is the process of doing so is transparent, but the quality has to be there so that persons who are providing goods and services to government-owned institutions have to meet certain standards. What we procure with the public's funds has to be something that is of a decent quality, either goods or services. So that being said, it is reasonable then to understand that there has to be a facilitation of especially the small and medium-sized business sector so that they are in a position to provide the quality services that the funds of taxpayers are purchasing. So we have the legislation around the corruption and making sure that the regulations are transparent where the procurement policy is concerned. We have, as a party, we also committed to giving small and medium-sized businesses a chance to bid and obtain contracts with government. And then we are also helping them to be able to provide good quality goods and services to government in its procurement program.
Thank you. I want to go to our WhatsAppers who have been going. At one point I was off and I didn't see what they were saying, but this one here: can any of today's panelists understand how the current veil of secrecy and circumvention of public tendering rules for PPPs is a major invitation to corruption of public officials by unscrupulous business people? What solutions are proposed other than full transparent and public tendering? Confidentiality of private sector initiated ideas hurts everyone other than the proposer. And I think that proposers need to be prepared to prove the competitiveness of their idea by winning a public tender. The person there has a point. But I'll go continue to hear our panelists on the subject of public tendering. This is Down to Brass Tacks. People's Parliament. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going to go to one last caller and then we will hear from our panelists as we wrap up this edition of the People's Parliament. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Ms. Yale, and your guest there.
Good afternoon, sir.
Is it correct to say that Mr. Barrow at one time, the late Roland Barrow, at one time was kind of critical of the education system at that point in time?
Well, critical is an interesting word there. I think that would be the operative word. Critical meaning he looked at it, he assessed it, and he wanted change. That could be deemed as critical.
Yeah, that's correct. But even essay writing, he was even speaking about children after reading essays, which were even further in the Caribbean, reading about snow and stuff like that. Okay. As a matter of fact, there was the ad Christmas ago with the Mail Laughing Sport, the sound, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost snuff, sniffing at somebody. You know, the lady comes in and says, what Jack Frost is talking about?
We had a Jack. You didn't have a frost.
Yeah. One other thing. Okay, no. But this ISO 9000, I believe it's called. I'd like to ask Mr. Phillip if that has any feedback systems whereby it keeps in check. If anything goes awry, you feedback to certain offices will actually keep it in check.
It does. You have any further questions? We're going to come to Mr. Phillips as soon as you're wrapped up.
No, that's it. I'll obviously offline and I'll go offline and
I'll hear from him. Okay, great. As we go down the home stretch, I will let Mr. Phillips continue. He will take this call and any final comments. We have 5 more minutes with you, so let us keep our calls 1 minute and 20 seconds each. Mr. Granville Phillips.
Yes, the ISO system does have those checks. It's a continuous improvement system. So you start where you are and you keep improving and you never stop. You just keep improving. Now, regarding the public-private sector, those contracts, we will not be pursuing any of those. Every large project must be publicly tendered, and those projects that have gone already, we will review those contracts, because once you go over, I think it's about $250,000, it should be publicly tendered. Now, anybody can promise everybody a space shuttle. Anyone. But it's how do you plan to get it done? That's why we ask all the other parties, please cost what you're doing. Cost it, get it independently checked so that we could know as a public, can we afford this? Because we are on the brink of economic ruin. We costed ours and it's workable. We asked the Barbados Labour Party to cost theirs and they said, no, we are not doing that. We're not revealing theirs to any public scrutiny. The Democratic Labour Party, they promised to do theirs. Well, no, they haven't. They said they're not doing it. The UPP said they'll do theirs. They haven't. So that's it.
All right. In wrapping up, I would want to just touch on a few issues. We're talking about public-private sector efficiency, how we're going to do it differently, getting national development going. Leadership is critical. Decisive leadership is critical. The Barbados Labour Party will provide that. I spoke earlier about the social partnership. We believe in bringing people along, because a government is a government of the people, for the people, by the people. I mean, maybe cliched now, but we are leading and bringing people along. So the social partnership, expanding it, making it vibrant, communicating with people, those are things that we will be doing. E-government, expanding that, making sure that we use the technology that is available to us to improve the efficiency of government, that will happen. Our manifesto, we know as a contract with the people, and we treat it as such. And integrity legislation, we will be pursuing that immediately on assuming office.
Thank you so much,
Randall. The UPP believes that there should be justice for all in Barbados. We believe, we know that this is a new paradigm, and we need to embrace every young person in Barbados. We need to be into an age where everyone can feel that he or she can have his or her own job. And we also need to look at the new economies of Barbados. We need to focus on that, and we will go forward.
Thank you, Kim.
With regard to the whole notion of procurement, the government is committed to transparency, accountability, fairness, inclusion of all, which is small, medium, and large. And with regard to the overall direction, the government is committed to the economic growth and is committed to the well-being of every Barbadian.
Thank you. That has been our edition of the People's Parliament. I want to thank Graham Vaughan, our producer, and also Mr. Kevin Hines, our technical assistant. We also had in our house from Solutions Barbados, Mr. Granville Phillips, from the Barbados Labour Party, Ms. Granville Phillips, number two, the second. From Barbados Labour Party, we had Mr. Colin Jordan. From the UPP, we had Mr. Wendell Callender. And from the Democratic Labour Party, Ms. Kim Tudor. I have been with you. My name is Lisa Gale. I enjoyed serving you today, and we look forward to another edition of the People's Parliament, because we know that elections have not yet been called. And we will see you next Tuesday on Down to Brass Tacks. Do have a wonderful day.